The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. There was a wedding at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples were also invited to the wedding. When the wine ran short, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, how does your concern affect me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servers, "Do whatever he tells you." Now there were 6 stone water jars there for Jewish ceremonial washings, each holding 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus told them, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Draw some out now and take it to the head waiter." So they took it. And when the head waiter tasted the water that had become wine, without knowing where it came from, although the servers who had drawn the water knew, the head waiter called to the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first, and then when people have drunk freely, an inferior one. But you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this as the beginning of his signs at Cana in Galilee, and so revealed his glory, and his disciples began to believe in him. The Gospel of the Lord. I don't know if any of you have been to the Holy Land, but when we do our pilgrimage, one of the places we always stop is the church in Cana, which is a suburb today of Nazareth. It's on an opposite hillside from the city of Nazareth. I don't know if you remember that in Nazareth, there's the story about how they took Jesus to the top of a precipice and were going to throw him off, remember? So if you're standing on the top of that hill, there's a beautiful 5-star hotel there now, which I would recommend. But if you're standing at the top of that hill, you can see Cana on a hillside just opposite. It's like a 10-minute, well, it's the traffic there is terrible, but I guess it is everywhere. But it's like 10 minutes from the center of Nazareth. Anyway, there's a lot written about this particular wedding that Jesus and Mary are attending. It is clearly, though, the beginning of Jesus' public life, according to the Gospel of John. In the Gospel of John, there's no story, there's no narrative about the baptism of Jesus. We hear the words of John the Baptist declaring that "I saw the dove and I heard the voice." So he says, "I have seen and testified that he is the Son of God." And then shortly after that in the Gospel of John, there are a couple of his disciples, John the Baptist's disciples, that are there. Andrew and Simon, Peter. And he says to them as Jesus walks by, "Behold the Lamb of God." So the first part of the Gospel of John is clearly identifying who Jesus is. Jesus recruits 2 of John's disciples and then later Philip and Nathanael. Nathanael is from Cana, so it's quite possible they got the invitation because it was maybe family of Mary and Jesus, or maybe it was family of Nathanael, who had become a disciple of Jesus. At any rate, what happens today is what's the beginning of what's called the Book of Signs in the Gospel of St. John. I think most people don't even realize there's a Book of Signs and a Book of Glory. It's divided into 2 parts. The Book of Signs is Jesus going to work after his account of his baptism in the Jordan, right to his first miracle. And that first miracle is in the context of a wedding, which is a very strong theme image for St. John, because it's St. John that talks about the bridegroom and the marriage feast and the whole image of prefiguring the wedding feast of the Lamb in eternity, which is a big theme for John, especially in the book of Revelation. So at this wedding feast, they ran out of wine. So if they were family, this would have been a huge embarrassment that the family would run out of wine. These weddings would go for 6 or 7 days. People would come and stay for a while. They were usually large crowds. You'll see on the bulletin I picked out a piece of a painting from the 16th century that sort of has a lot of Roman buildings and stuff like that, so it's clearly not Nazareth. But it probably would have had that many people at the wedding. And they ran out of wine. What does the wine represent to the family? Well, I mean, imagine if you were having a reception and you forgot the beverages. It would be a horrible embarrassment. But it represents hospitality. It represents joy and cheer. It's celebration, isn't it? And without the wine, the party is at risk. That's the best we can say about it. So Mary turns to Jesus and kind of states the obvious. They have no more wine. In other words, she's sort of like, do something about it. And that's when we have this kind of strange response from Jesus, even though later he makes 180 gallons of wine for this family and their wedding reception. We see in that wine the same superabundance. It's also a theme in the Gospel of John about, you know, the multiplication of the loaves and the fish, that kind of overcompensating, overabundance of this generosity of God. But he says to her right away, he says, "Woman, what does that have to do with me? My hour is not yet come." So as I said, the second half of the Gospel of St. John is called the Book of Glory. It includes his later teachings and the story of his path to Calvary, to passion, death, and resurrection. It is at Calvary when finally his time has come, right? Well, Jesus has just been revealed in the Gospel of John as the Son of God, so now Mary is revealed also as more than just his mother. In his being declared the Son of God, she is also revealed as the Mother of God, Woman with a capital W, the new Eve, who is going to undo the damage of original sin by her yes. She's already done that. She represents the order of creation in its perfection, but still she is subject to the law, even though she is without sin. So the early fathers of the church mark the baptism of Jesus as the beginning of the new dispensation of grace. I talked about this last week on the baptism of the Lord, but a lot of people would say, and me included up until about 2 weeks ago, that the Old Testament ended and the New Testament began with the birth of Jesus, like we have the year zero suddenly, right? B.C. and A.D. Well, in fact, the fathers of the church marked the beginning of the new dispensation of grace at the baptism of Jesus. So our year 30 probably would be the year zero, according to the fathers of the church, but they weren't doing calendars yet at that time. At any rate, with this New Testament beginning, Jesus, who is baptized, no longer is subject to the old dispensation of the law. He is now living in this time of glory. Mary appears only in the Gospel of John here at the beginning, and not again in the Gospel of John until that New Testament is finally ratified by his sacrifice on the cross. His sacrifice of the humanity that Mary provided for him. It is the fulfillment of the Book of Signs, the final chapter of John's Book of Glory. So there's just a couple bookends I'd like to point out. This is kind of a Bible study this week, but I find it very interesting. There's wine at the beginning, and there's wine at the end. There's a wedding feast at the beginning and the Last Supper at the end. There's thirst, clearly, at the wedding reception, but there's also thirst of Jesus on the cross. And there is this sense that he is saving the best for last, as they did at the wedding feast. Another bookend that I would like to point out is the feast itself. The feast at the Cana was in danger of failure, of collapse, right? But Jesus came and became the son of Mary, became man, because the wedding feast of God's creation was also collapsing and had to be saved. This is an important theme for St. John. Jesus had to come to save the wedding. And the end of John's gospel reveals the hour of salvation, which is our hope. The bookend message and connection of Mary from the start to the end is clear in the Gospel of John, chapter 19, at the cross, where Mary is there at Calvary. She is certainly speaking to him, and he is speaking to her. While her words are not written down, John gives the nonverbal message of Mary and the verbal one of her son. Verses 25 and 26, standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple John, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." There it is again, woman. And she realizes now the recreation of all things. And he gives her into John the apostle's care, since John stands beside her at the crucifixion scene. Jesus is now the bridegroom, proposing to all the world to receive his covenant offer. He says to you today, "I give myself to you, my beloved."